Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Tools down.
You've all had a big busy week.
Radio on.
Look how happy they are.
Triple M footy roars into the weekend.
Oh, it's red hot.
Game on. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
This is the Friday Huddle for Ream Hot Water and McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome along to an early edition of the Friday Huddle. It is the world's best autumn day in Melbourne, Victoria, wherever you're tuning in around Australia, around the world. Where would you rather be? The Marvel Stadium, under the roof. Went to go to the car park and they checked the car park passes because it is a sellout down in the car park for the Kangaroos taking on the Blues in the Good Friday match. We'll give you all the details how you can donate to the magnificent Royal Children's Hospital appeal, which in many ways is what today is about. We've got a young chap in to talk about his experiences at the Royal Children's with his mum, Rachel. Nathan Brown versus Kane Corns, that's next week, so we'll delve into that. Jordan Russell joins us from the Blues. Big game preview. We look at what happened last night, but I look around, I normally go to the skipper and he's not here, so it's forced upon me with Luke Darcy not here to appoint a new skipper, and I think that's got to be the big fella in the Osaka 6 t-shirt, the nice blue short and a crisp white thong, looking good as always, unshaven but happy. Happy Easter Friday to you, new captain of the team, Chiefy.
Happy Easter one and all. Is that coming through?
Okay? Yes, it is, Chief.
Not sounding good in my ears. And happy Easter to you, Skater Boy. You've done it again.
Yes, got my hat on backwards. I had it on the
pretty
forwards.
Pretty cool for an old geezer,
well,
aren't you?
Well, I had it on forwards and I thought I'd really annoy Chief by putting it on backwards. So I did, and you're looking fine. And Damo, come in. News galore. We need to talk about last night, the big fight coming up, but always a pleasure to see you.
Likewise to you, Howard. And the group dynamic in a Triple M box always intrigues me. Mm-hmm. And I want to bring you in after you introduce our other panellists for the pre-match in a moment on something that I heard pre-show, which I think you'll like.
I'm looking forward to that. And I look at this man. He looks cut. He looks fit. He looks ready to go. He's got white teeth. He's got thick hair. And he's got cannons on each arm, Chief. I speak, of course, about the Nathan the Brown Bomber, who is set to fight next Wednesday night in Adelaide. We're all going along. How are you fit? Gee, I've never seen you look so good, so confident, so happy.
It's all coming together, Howard.
Is it? And,
Christina,
I love that.
Christina's just loving the new look at the moment.
Is she?
About 5 or 6, 7 kilos down, the Chief. And crypto has been off its head this year. I mean, there could not have been a better start to the year for me physically, me mentally, and me financially. I told you about Fetch many years ago. I think it was about 15 US cents.
Yep.
It's hit $3.40.
Yep.
Now, you sold it at 24, which is disappointing for you. I've been telling you blokes for a long time. But it is the future. And for you three heathens in here today, just remember you've got a public holiday because the great man died 2024 years ago.
2024 years ago, Chief. What is this? I think he's talking about the Lord, Chief, if you haven't got the numbers right. I think here's what he's talking about. Well, I hope he comes to your help next Wednesday night when you really need him, Nate. That old parable about the two sets of steps in the sand and then why, when I'm struggling, is there only one set? Because the Lord is carrying you. Well, I hope he's carrying you, my son. Good luck to you. Now, Damo, I thought without Darcy, I was calling with Nathan. Chief was one out in comments, but we have the pleasure of Brian Taylor for the call as well, which is always exciting.
It's exciting. And what we also learned pre-show, Howie, is that Chief hasn't worked with BT for, what would it be, Chief?
Been a number
years?
Of years. I don't know how many years, but been a while.
And Howie, we know that in the Triple M family, in fact, just in life and footy, that there is no predator to our man Chief. And equally,
ridiculous.
BT comes into any box he's in, no matter where he is, thinking he's got no predator.
Yep.
There's going to be a clash today, and we're going to forecast it before BT walks in, because when BT calls a game of footy, and you would know this having called alongside him, he doesn't like Truman, Ashtua, to sit on the same row as him.
Back row.
Normally puts in the back row between the two special commentators. Now, Chief got wind of this being the practice pre-show, and Chief
said, I walked in, and the middle seat between Nate and I was set up for Ashtua. And I said, why? And they said, Brian's calling. And I said, why? And they said, because Brian doesn't like him. And I said, why? And he said, this has always been the case. I said, not today, my friend.
Right. So Chewy's going to get shuffled to the front.
That's where he always sits.
He does.
Except this is Brian's calling.
This is our team. We're loyal to our people. But let's do it from a logical perspective. The front desk is longer than the back area that Nathan and I share. So why would you sandwich three people here in three quarters of the space that you can have down the front? And if he does sit here, he's actually closer to where Brian sits. Makes no sense, Brian saying.
I would have loved to have this conversation with him. I said he should be on from the start, but apparently it's a bit of an extra wedge for him to do the pregame.
I think you'll back down, Chief.
Chief will back down.
I think Chief,
I don't think Chief will back down. Chief won't back down.
Well, then it'll be interesting to see where Ash sits. Because he won't be squashed between Nate and I.
Well, you'll be here, Nate. Like, as this is going to be uncomfortable because they are both the two apex in the whole AFL world. Who are you going to side with? Are you going to side with your man with every week, or are you more scared of Brian?
No, well, I see Brian probably once every 4 or 5 months. I see Chief on a weekly basis at Monday tennis and also Friday nights and on the weekend. So I'm with my man, Chief.
I'm with Chief.
Damien, you had a situation in the past where you and Brian didn't speak for an extended period of time.
Yeah, that was after the timing coding of his call with a certain other commentator. He didn't like me going public with that. So thanks for raising that, Howie. But we've actually never been better now.
Finally in Queensland, I believe you had another falling out, yeah?
Well, that was still, I think, in that period of time. Yeah, and that was more, I think, directed at his views of Jim and Bill in the studio in Melbourne on that day than me.
It used to be quite a team back in the day, Chief, the Friday night team. And it seems to be a bit fractured these days.
Yep. Nah. Never been tighter with Brian at the moment.
Well, I look forward to having the opportunity to call with him, and I look forward to see where Two Man will be sitting at some point.
I know he won't be sitting next to Chief.
Hey, the footy last night. You turn on last night, Nathan. Sometimes I can miss a quarter or so, but I made sure I was there for the first bounce. Collingwood, then Brisbane, and then Collingwood eventually. What do you think of what you saw, mate?
I thought it was a great performance by Collingwood because they were under the pump. They were under the pump large, and it was set up. And Darcy Moore's been poor this year, but his first tackle set the tone last night. It was a bone-jarring tackle, and I think everybody followed after that, and they had buy-in. I was a bit concerned about what I saw from Brisbane, to be honest. I mean, they're a little bit off. I thought their first quarter against Carlton was outstanding, but I saw a team last night outside Lachie Neale, who was sensational, who were very fumbly, who foot skills were terrible in the conditions. They were good conditions, a little bit slippery or greasy because of the humidity, and I saw two forwards who weren't going to war every time the ball came in their 50-metre arc, which you need your two forwards to do. And they've got some issues.
Chief used the analogy of the fry pan hands in describing how both Eric Kippold and Joe...
We were having a joke last night late because they got their hands to lots of balls that they didn't take and they didn't get reward. They had 21-2 inside 50s in the second term and could nearly have put Collingwood away on the scoreboard, but they didn't capitalise on the opportunities. Now, I don't think the method with which they went inside 50 was particularly good, but enough players got their hands up. But throw Charlie Cameron in as well. He missed two sitter snaps on his left foot from the top of the goal square that is uncharacteristic. Now, they pride themselves or they base their game on the territory battle, and they get numbers inside 50. They've got a supposed star-studded forward lineup that they think can kick them a winning score. What didn't happen last night? They had opportunities. I mean, when you have 21-2 inside 50s in the second term alone, they could have put Collingwood away, and they didn't. Mm. And that happened against Carlton as well. They had a chance to put Carlton away. They missed a few, and they let Carlton back into the game. They're having periods of games where they're in control, but they're not getting maximum benefit for when they are in control of a match. So they've got some issues. It's not just... it's not personnel. I mean, there are a lot of players that aren't reaching the levels that they found last year on a consistent basis, but also there's a lack of cohesion, there's a lack of confidence, the ball movement's not great. I mean, Kitty Coleman's a massive loss.
Yeah.
McKenna's a loss for them as well, so you don't get that run off halfback all of a sudden. Things are a little bit tight for them, so they're going to have to battle exactly the way we saw Collingwood. Oh, I thought Collingwood were brilliant. They didn't play their best, but they were savage. Absolutely savage. You speak about tackling and the press they put on. It was brilliant. They just wanted the win more than Brisbane did.
And the thing that amazed me last night, Chief, was Collingwood played the Gabba better than what Brisbane did. So every time you see Brisbane play, it's one of the shortest grounds in the competition. So they, at all costs, try and get the ball back through the middle Brisbane lines. And that's exactly what Collingwood did last night. And Brisbane allowed them to do it. Brisbane gave them the corridor time after time. And I couldn't understand why it was happening. Was it personnel? Was it laziness? Was it game plan? But Collingwood, through the middle every time, they'd punch the ball on, similar to the Brisbane Lions back in the early 2000s, knocked the ball on. They had players running onto it the whole night. And they scrambled the Brisbane defence.
It was brave Craig McRae too, wasn't he? I mean, the decision to rest side bottom, and it was a rest or a managed situation. He's an older player trying to play his fourth game inside a short period of time. Crisp though, Chief, being made the sub and then calling that early in the third quarter, taking McRae off, that worked. The move of Dacos back, and then the forwards clicked, unlike what Brisbane's were able to do in Elliott and Mychek kicking goals.
Yeah, I mean, look, Bobby Hill got them off to the fly, didn't he? Kicked three in the first term, and then I thought the second half in particular of Elliott was spectacular. And the difference was, we're talking about the misses that they had at the other end, he kicked four straight, and they weren't all regulation either. In fact, a couple of them were quite tough. and he managed to convert them. You've got to take your chances because at some stage both teams get an opportunity to hit the scoreboard, and it's what damage you do on that board that determines the result.
The main news story, I presume, revolves around Scott Pendlebury and Lachie Neale.
Yeah, it does to me, Howie. So for those who haven't caught up with it, there was an off the ball. I say off the ball. It was at a stoppage. And for the second time in three matches for the Lions, Lachie Neale's been hit in that moment. It was George Hewitt in the opening round. It was Scott Pendlebury last night. Now, people were saying it was an open hand, but there's a hard part of an open hand that can cause some pretty big damage. He went down, Lachie, as he did when Hewitt hit him. Now, Hewitt actually made contact, slipping up from the shoulder to the head, was able to play the next week. I was surprised at that decision. There's a form of precedent inside this season that says that's okay, which I don't. I'm totally comfortable with. I feel he should be missing a game of footy, Scott Pendlebury, yeah. And forget, to me, the good track record he's got. To me, that is an incident
that
the game shouldn't
that
have.
Comes into it, though, Damon. So if we talk about the Toby tax,
yep.
I think there's a tax coming back the other way for Scotty Pendlebury.
But where's it fit on the box ticking
and
exercise,
players
Brad?
Like him?
Where's it fit on the box ticking? Yeah.
And so that's something the AFL, I think, will nip in the bud at the end of the year. I expect him to get a fine. Does anyone expect him to get rubbed out for that?
I don't expect him to get weeks because he's Scott Pendlebury.
Do you think he should get a week?
Not under the current system, but I think we're at a stage
as an observer
now,
of football.
We're at a stage now where the AFL has to come out and say, don't care if it's open hand, don't care if it's closed fist. Any striking action starts at a minimum of a week. And then we grade it up from there, depending on the force, depending on the nature of it, on the ball, off the ball, all those sorts of things. But I think if we want to discourage kids from doing things and clean up the game properly at the grassroots level, anything that remotely resembles a striking action has to cop a minimum of 1 week. But in this instance, you can't all of a sudden start now because there's too many other instances where fines are prevailed.
Round one.
Correct.
Collingwood, so they get the win. What about Brisbane now, gents? They're 0-2 at home, which has obviously been their fortress. They win the majority of games there. They set up that top four, potentially top two, and don't come back down to Melbourne. It's looking a very different scenario. Early stages, though, Noodles.
It is early stages, and they're obviously the shortest turnaround from a grand final to round one we've ever seen. But in saying that, their first half against Carlton was outstanding. They should have been further in front. What did they get, 46 points up?
46.
The Blues.
Well, we're up there, Nathan.
Probably should have been even further in front.
It's a 90-point job, that game.
The premiership team. And since then, they started well against the Fremantle Dockers too. But I think last night, they looked a side that was, to put it in a horse racing term, needed the run. And they've needed to get that fitness. And they don't have the touch at the moment. Lachie Neale's probably the only one they looked at last night. And every time he touched the football, something happened. And he didn't fumble. And even when he had the ball in his hands, he was able to make Collingwood pay. Whereas the other midfielders, very, very fumbly up there. And it's not like the Brisbane Lions to be fumbly. And so many short kicks, maybe 10, 12, 15 metres, were just missing targets completely. Collingwood did a couple themselves. Degoe was instrumental in doing a couple. But it was Brisbane across the board whose skills weren't at AFL standard last night.
Chief, watching Eric Hipwood, every time I see him play and we see him live, I think he's the most athletic bloke on the field. Every time you see him against an opponent, you think he's quicker than this bloke off the mark. If you had a couple of days to the privilege to have a chat with Eric about football and the forward craft, what type of advice would you give him just to get his hands on the footy more? What are you going with?
It's a difficult one. I mean, we all have bad days and make no bones about that. I've had plenty of them. Brownie's had plenty of them. Everyone has. The problem with Eric is when he has a bad day, it's a zero day. It's a nothing day, a no contribution day. So he's got to find a way to make his bad days at least some sort of contribution to the team effort, and he couldn't do that last night. So he's got to find a way, whether it's about, well, okay, it's not working for me. That doesn't mean I'm going to go into Michelle. I'm actually going to go to more contests. I'm actually going to work harder. I'm going to work harder on my defence. I'm going to tackle and chase. The defensive pressure in their forward 50 was poor. And all of a sudden, when you're playing a third tool, you throw Darcy forward, you've got Joe Danaher, you've got Eric Hipwood, Lincoln McCarthy will try and tackle, Rain will try and tackle.
Bailey,
yeah, but it came out too easy. And that's when Brandon was talking about the corridor. They were able to sweep it off halfback and then pick and choose and go through the centre square. So the lack of defensive pressure is a big issue, so he can certainly work on that. You don't always get a lot of the ball, but there are still things you can do.
Chief just said he had bad days. What do you think a bad day was? Like 2 goals, 5, 3 goals, 4? What do we think?
I had plenty of donuts, Harry.
Oh, please.
Plenty of donuts.
What he said that, I was thinking, I don't think you did.
You didn't have too many bad days, Chief.
You
in that
Chief.
Team.
Yeah, you still so don't.
You don't think a donut's
like
a bad day?
70 inside 50s coming down at you every week.
How many goalless days did you have?
Oh,
You wouldn't have had 10.
There would have been a few in the first.
There wouldn't have been 10.
No, it'd have to be double figures. Chief. It would be double figures.
And you don't have any bad days now. Like you get out of bed at 11 o'clock. You got a lot of friends.
Every day you wake up breathing is a good one, Howie.
Walk your dog.
That's right.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
This is the Triple M huddle for TAC. This weekend is always dangerous on the roads. Don't take a risk while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC. Mark Howe with you, Damien Barrett, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown. We're here for the footy. The Roos were fantastic in the first half last week. The young guns off half back against the Freo Dockers, who got the job done in the end. The Blues just keep winning close games of footy. Big crowd expected, obviously here for the football, but more so today here for the Good Friday Appeal. goodfridayappeal.com.au. That's goodfridayappeal.com.au. It's just on the website. There's a simple button. Click to donate, and away you can go. Carlton have also organised some amazing things this week, which we will get to. We are lucky to be joined now by Rachel and Ollie in the studio. Mum, Rachel, son, Ollie, big Carlton fan. Rach, great to see you. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
You've got young Ollie with you as well. You are lucky in some ways to spend time at the Royal Children's because of the wonderful people there and the wonderful service, but unlucky as a parent because your young bloke has to go in there, unfortunately, rather frequently. Can you just explain the situation and what the institution of the hospital means to you and your family?
Yeah, so Ollie's been a part of Royal Children's and their complex care unit for about 3 years now. He's had a hell of a lot of admissions. Maybe we're hitting around the 50 mark now, but without the Good Friday Appeal and everyone that gets around them, we wouldn't have the complex care or all the amazing opportunities they give us to help them grow and learn and live like everyone else.
He's on fire. He's a quite young man at the moment. He saw the big chief and he just got a bit concerned and huddled in the corner. Why, if you don't mind me asking, why have you had to take the young bloke so frequently to the hospital?
So Ollie has severe asthma, and during that asthma period, he was also got adrenal insufficiency. So we manage both of them through there. But unfortunately, a lot of the traditional methods weren't helping Ollie. So he's now on a new injection that has been helping. Yeah, he's had a pretty good year, so.
He's obviously a tough little boy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, he is.
And the hospital itself, it's unfortunate in some ways, Rach, that we just read about it at this time of year. And the rest of the busy world, you get on with life and you forget about these things. But you read the stories. I saw the young bloke in the paper 2 days ago that had a skin condition. He had to be wrapped up for 3 hours every morning. You read that as a parent and it's difficult to read. What's it like having to go into the hospital, and then what type of love and care and attention do you get in there when you're in there?
Oh, they're amazing. Everyone, they're amazing. From the nurses, the doctors, you've got people everywhere that are amazing to the kids. And, yeah, without them, hey, we'd be in a different place, wouldn't we?
And he's got three siblings, so how do they all handle it? And obviously it's a very big household, a very busy household.
It is. Well, they're all very resilient kids, but I guess they are young and they see us come and go so often, but they get around, Ollie, and they're also pretty good.
How much time has he spent down at the Blues this week? I've heard he spent more time down there than half the players this week.
Yeah, we have. We've been at the Blues. You were at the Blues yesterday? Hey?
And who's his favourite player?
Adam. Hey, Adam Chera? Yeah.
Has he made a few mates in at the hospital? The kids, they tend to get together and they have fun in difficult times in there, don't they?
Yeah. He has actually. He's got a few little friends. I think Ava is down here as well, coming out onto the ground. Little Ava's there, and he's got lots of little pals down there.
And today he gets to go on the ground, didn't he?
Yeah, he's going to run out and do the reverse guard of honour with a few other patients down there.
Mitch McGovern and the Carlton players have got together. So just jump on the Carlton website, click on the Carlton shop, and they're putting all sorts of things through there to raise money for the Good Friday Appeal. So just visit the Carlton shop auctions. There's some incredible stuff on there, which is absolutely fantastic. You are a Blues fan as well, Rach. How have you split the kids? Because this is a problem. Your hubby's not a Carlton man, so
no,
is it one for you, one for me, or how does it work?
At the moment, we do have two each. But, you know, kids, they follow who's most influenced at the moment.
Who are the other two going for?
St Kilda.
So I was very lucky when mine were little. The Hawks won 3 premierships in a row and the Blues were no good. My wife's a Carlton fan, so I've got them as Hawks. So surely, well, the Saints are going well, but the Blues win the flag this year. You might be able to get another one or two across.
Yeah, I think my side of the family will be very happy with that. So, won't they all?
Well, Rach, we appreciate you coming in.
No, thank you.
Good luck getting out on the ground with the young bloke. Do you get to jump in the Guard of Honour as well, being a big Carlton supporter or not?
I think so. I think I get to go with Ollie.
And just before we let you go, obviously, goodfridayappeal.com.au, just the support that they give not only your family but all families out there, I guess, is a wonderful reason for Victorians and Australians just to throw a buck or two or whatever they can afford into the appeal.
Yes, absolutely. Get around it. Hey, there's plenty of things out there today. People on the side of the road collecting. They've got the convention centre, the game. There's heaps going on today for the appeal.
Result today?
Carlton, of course.
By?
What do you reckon? How much do you reckon they'll win by? 20?
20?
20?
Best on ground?
Who's going to be best on ground?
Get a word out of
Chera.
Chera. Yeah.
Good on you, Ollie. Thanks for coming in, Rach. We really appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Good luck have with everything
day,
with the
Ollie.
Family moving forward.
Thank you.
Great to speak to Rach you, Ollie. And Ollie. Again, goodfridayappeal.com.au or jump on the Carlton website. They've got some fantastic auction items there, and that money will also go through to the Good Friday Appeal.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
The Blues and Roos are coming your way. Easter Friday under the roof. Cracking autumn day in Melbourne. Real Aussies are experiencing the magic at Macca's with surprise fries. There's a 1 in 4 chance to win with millions of dollars worth of prizes up for grabs, including food, merch and vouchers. But hurry, the magic ends April 9. Just before we get to the fight, Chief, we're just having a quick chat off air and we normally have a joke, but you were telling me you'd had the opportunity and the privilege in some ways in the past in your life as an athlete to spend time in the Royal Children's and what it's like to actually go in there in that environment when you are a hero to people that are in there, mate.
It's the most humbling, grounding experience you'll ever have as a person, no matter what your background or accomplishments or achievements may be. When you go in to see the kids in there, and a lot of the kids are basically living there, you see the work that the staff do. The nurses are the most incredible bunch of people in there. You see kids that basically can't do anything, bedridden, day in, day out. And you walk in and you try to have a bit of a chat and it puts a smile on their face. And you think, how lucky are you that you can actually go in and get a smile out of a kid who's just consigned to spending so much time in there with a disease that he or she may not recover from. So you feel incredibly privileged to actually be in that position. And you walk out thinking, well, no problem's too big. Because you've seen what people and families go through, and it's quite frightening.
Goodfridayappeal.com.au.
Yeah, I didn't expose it to it too, Howie. I've just talked about this on this day, on this program a few times. Not every year, but Addison, our just turned 18-year-old, was in there when he was about 9 or 10 months old for a full week, and 5 of those days were in ICU. And to Chief's point, what you see in there is just debilitating for so many people. And we were fortunate enough to take Addison out, and that's what today's about, because some don't get the chance to take him out immediately or their kid out immediately. And that's why the Good Friday Appeal is so important and dear to so many people in this country and town.
Spot and it's not just what the kids go through, it's the families and what that does to them. They have to be so bloody tough as well.
Yeah, that's the bit that I think most parents find hard to fathom about if one of your children was in that situation. As the Blues come out on the ground, they're set to take on the Roos. Should be a cracking game of football. The Blues are the kings of the close finish in the last 4, 5 or 6 games they've played. But all this and this game of football pales into insignificance because, Chief, you and I and Darce are heading over to gather around early in support of our man Nathan Brown, who has been training the house down. You've lost, how much weight have you lost?
About 7 kilos.
Are you going in? I've never heard a boxer front up a press conference saying I'm really worried. Normally you're reasonably confident, Caper. How are you feeling?
No, I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait to get out there, actually. It's a good challenge and I'm just excited. I'm nervous and it's a good nervous energy. I think I said last week that I hadn't probably been nervous since my wedding or before that, the last game of football I played. And just looking forward to testing it out. I won't be losing, Howard. I know that there's a few people out there.
You won't be losing.
I won't be losing, Damien. You know that. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, like he said, he talks like a boxer, doesn't he?
He's never seen a boxer say, oh, I don't know, I'm going to go, you know.
There's a general feeling in the community. Well, there's a support for both athletes. Both have done amazing things in the game, both very good media performance. But I tune in every week to my Man Ducks podcast. I don't miss it. I tune in every week, and he had some thoughts alongside Tony Sheehan about the pressure that may be bearing on your shoulders this week going into the fight. No, this is our man, the Duck, formerly of Triple M.
If Brownie gets beaten by Cordsy in a couple of weeks, He's in froth and bubble.
Well, I don't think he'll be able to show his face ever again.
Well, you might have to ring Carl Stefanovic and put your hand up and say, Brownie can't do the footy show.
I don't think he should. Well, if he gets beaten by Kane Corns, I'm telling you, they will haunt him for life.
Yep.
But on the flip side, if he beats Cornsy, he becomes a national star.
He'll
be reading the news next week. That's how big.
He thinks you're taking over from Alicia and Tom if you get the win, and if you don't, you're going to be on community radio noodles.
It's not bad from Duck.
No.
It's the most coherent I've heard him for a while. It's chocolates to boiled lollies for me. And Duck, you hit the nail right on the head there. But you go to Adelaide, and I feel like everybody's on my side. I mean, there's so many people who want me to beat Kane Corns, and I'm starting to feel that pressure. And I love pressure, Howard. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do my best. But like I said before, there's no way I'm losing.
The funny thing is for an Adelaide boy, which Kane is, Nathan's going to have more support because most of them are Crows over there.
Yeah.
And would hate the Port Adelaide connection. So you're going to have a lot of love wherever you go.
Well, I think Port Adelaide hate him too.
Oh, mate.
Now, Chief.
Was he coming on? You said he's coming on.
Well, I thought he was coming on, but I don't think Tunners can get hold of him at the moment.
He's had a big week.
Which is, he has had a big week. Oh, I'm cheering for you, but I'm a tremendous admirer of Kane and what he did last year when he did that big run and stuff. I almost hoped that it's a draw because I don't like to see you lose.
I genuinely like him. I like him. I work with him every week. I do a podcast with him. So it is strange to go out there and fight somebody that you genuinely like. So there's a little bit of mixed emotions when it gets out there. But, you know, when you get into a contest and it starts to get real, then it actually starts
and
to get real.
And it's put us in a bind to work with you too, Brownie, because we equally love
the two of you. Don't be stupid, Damo. You told me that you're on my side.
I did tell you that. Yeah.
If
no, I didn't, Kane.
if the fight went well,
yeah,
and you showed really good skills.
Yeah. It's a one-off, Chief.
It's a one-off. You're not going to go anywhere else with it?
The next opponent, I can't be as confident that it's a Kane Corns type. Like, he's not a huge man. He's a fit man.
But I feel like
it's going to be very hard to hurt me with the frame that he's got.
Oh, is there a rematch in the contract?
Nathan!
Is there a rematch clause in the contract or not?
I'd rematch Kane.
Right.
Imagine going up against a Mitch Robinson or someone like that. That's just not for me.
Is he too confident, Chief?
I'm worried.
Yeah. Because you wanted confidence. But
I get that.
Is there a line?
This is what boxers do, but, Nate.
So what happened to me, Chief, famously when I arm wrestled Nathan and got beaten?
Yeah, you had confidence.
Well, Erica couldn't look me in the eye for about 6 months. So
We couldn't look you in the eye.
I know what loss does to your family relationship.
Erica almost left him.
I know Christine is a woman of the Lord, but you get rolled, Nate. You might be sleeping in the spare room.
Could be. She's asked to sit next to the Chief too on the night. She said,
moral support.
She said that I'm not sure about the crowd. I've never been to a boxing match, and she's a woman of God, as you know.
Yes.
But she feels safe standing next to the Chief. So that's his job on the night.
Well, we sat down because boxing is an entertainment piece, Chief. So you need razzle dazzle and you need a big song. So we sat down. This is a 4-hour Zoom meeting. We put together all sorts of song options, Chief. You're going to lead us off. So this is what Nate is going to come out. Two.
Well, I've got two songs.
Okay.
These are suggestions for Nate because I just sat there thinking, what's the motivation here? We need something that exudes a bit of confidence, something that's going to get the crowd involved. And I thought the first one is a Metallica song. Let's have a listen to it.
Nice. I like that.
So the thing here is, it's the lyrics. Exit light, enter night, take my hand, you're off to Never Never Land.
Yeah,
so that
I
put
like
him
it.
To sleep.
Put
him to see you later.
I like it.
I really like that. And it's got a heavy beat to it, which is going to get the crowd up and about.
I wish I had actually got that one now. I like
the,
it.
The other one, yes. The other one I like is for when he actually hops through the ropes and he starts his pre-warm skip and dance moves. You play this one.
Can't touch this.
Hear me dancing around in shadow boxing. They won't lay a glove on him. Our golden gloves, Dave.
I like
Look
it.
Out.
Hard
Bobby.
To top. Yeah. Hard to top. Now, Damo, I know in the muscle car you listen with your mate Chris Judd to a lot of heavy rap. I don't know if you've gone down that path or
didn't
not.
Didn't he play DMX. We drove to the footy unit when I first got it.
And his 9-year old son Oscar was sworn not to tell Beck that that's the music they listened
that
to.
That was
in the car.
Indeed the
Lots
case.
Lots of swearing on it. Yeah.
Now, I've gone down a different path, and I need you to work with me on this, okay. Howie. So, this to me ties in Nathan's capacity being employed in the gambling industry. It also takes in the fact that he's a speculator in the crypto markets.
Yes.
It also takes in that you need to strike when the going's good, mm-hmm. and to also read the play and just back off a little bit when it's not going so well. So, it's this one from Kenny Rogers.
You got to know when the
oh, dang. Oh, know when the it'll be a sing-along song, though, for the crowd.
It would be, and it'd get them up.
Well, you got the country road for Charlie Cameron.
Yes.
A bit of a sing-along.
Well, I think...
get a bubbler out on the way out too then, Damo.
Leroy.
Is Asada in the venue, Nathan? It's a very good question.
No, I'm not.
I think they're pretty busy at the moment, the way things are going. Now... I had a look because I think you're a lot harder and tougher and hardcore than most people give you credit for. So I've gone for a tune by Eminem featuring a chap called Nate Dogg. So it's Eminem and Nate Dogg, and it's called Till I Collapse.
Till the room comes off, till the lights go out, till my legs give out, can't shut my mouth, till the smoke clears out.
I think that's you, Nate. I can see it.
This is the song that my son suggested.
Is it?
Really? Dude loves this song.
Right.
He plays it, and this was the one he suggested.
But my only concern is the lyrics where it says, till the lights go out, till my legs give out. We don't want any of that happening, Nate.
Oh, his legs, I think.
You're wow.
What are you wearing? What are your trunks? What chunks have you got? Have you got the dressing gown?
They're big trunks. Oh, like, yeah, when you buy them.
Are you a high pant wearer to protect the midriff?
No, they'll be down low.
Are you wearing something down there?
But I had to go and take them and get them tailored. They were that big. I didn't like how big parachutey they were.
What about dressing gown?
We do have a dressing gown. And it's a big dressing gown.
What's on the back?
Hey?
Has it got
There's
a
nothing on the back. No, I haven't had anything in.
Well, what about Howie Games? Maybe we can get a sponsorship.
No, no.
Bowen Edge Brewing Co. Maybe we can have on the back.
Have the trunks got some frills or some lace or some little things hanging off them? Is it dressed
it's
up?
It's shiny, Chief. It's shiny, black sheer.
They're all shiny.
And white on it. And I've been given some boxing shoes from a nice chap who runs a boxing company called Yammy.
Okay.
And they are bright white, brand new.
Nice.
And I really like them. YAMMY.
Should the Bowen Heads Brewing Co. logo be on the soles of these shoes?
The soles of my shoes?
Yes.
Well, maybe the soles of Kane's shoes.
Right.
Oh. Are you wearing in cricket style box protection?
There is not a cricket box as such.
There is something
white
down there.
One, but
do you reckon you'll go down there?
They wear a protection that goes around the hips as well.
Okay.
I won't be going down there.
Headgear?
No headgear. No.
Ooh. No headgear?
I've done a couple of training sessions the last couple of weeks with no headgear. You see a hell of a lot more without the helmet, I'll give you that. But
so you see the fist before it crunches into your head?
You do, and if it's really quick, you don't see it at all.
What have you told the kids?
I just told them they want to come. And I just told them I'm boxing and I'm very keen to win, and they're pretty excited. They wanted to come, and I think Jude will be disappointed if I get beaten. I think he'll be embarrassed, his dad, if I got beaten.
So what song are you going with?
All right, so Christina loves this song when she goes running and she goes to the gym. So this is her choice.
Is it a hymn?
So it's called
HYMN.
It's from Duckworth and Shaboozy, and it's called Start a Riot.
And here just start a riot.
You better win. You better win if you roll out to the hymn. This is what Christina's listening to.
This is Christina's
suggestion.
I would have thought that would be you from Bendigo days, but no, this is Christina.
Can I make a suggestion?
What's the suggestion, Jason?
The crowd that's going to be in the fight doesn't need any more motivation to start a riot than someone playing a song suggesting, let's start a riot.
The other thing she doesn't know what to do is what to wear. She's a bit confused about what to wear. She goes, oh, can you ask the big nose producer? I said, where would he know what to wear?
Mate, the girls all dress up.
Yeah. Do they, Chief?
They do.
What? Tell us more.
What are you wearing, Chief?
Well, we went to the last, when Moons fought. He fought on the undercard of, not Tim Zhu, his brother.
Nikita.
That fight. So we were down at the tennis centre watching that. And there was a lot of corporate stuff going on. A lot of women dressed up.
The heels?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'll tell her wear the heels because she's already a little bit shorter than me, but with heels, she's probably a little bit taller than me.
Oh. How many fights are we sitting through? Because we are coming to the evening.
There's a few you want to see, though.
There's 11 fights on the night, I think.
When are you on?
10.
I heard it was late.
Late.
Yeah. I heard it was late. Initially scheduled.
Almost like the main second event. Not past.
Almost the main event.
It's not past nine, is it?
You second last
like,
five.
I don't like to go there early.
Busy weekend over there in Adelaide.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Built tough for Aussie conditions when it comes to water heating. Ask your plumber to install a room. Mark Howe with you, Damien Barrett, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown and Nat Ioannidis is on the boundary for the first time. We welcome her on a good Friday. G'day, Nat. How are you?
Hello, Howie. It's really building nicely down here. We're going to get a good crowd for this Good Friday blockbuster. And I've got a special guest down here on the boundary with me. Carlton assistant Jordan Russell has been good enough to join us. Jordan, what does it mean to be a part of an occasion like this? Because today is more than just about footy, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Vossi spoke a lot about it this week around the gratitude piece and it being more than about us and a game of footy. In a couple of minutes' time, it will be a game of footy, but we've spent a lot of this week, players have gone down to the hospital and given up their time. And I think being on both sides, you've seen Cunnington and Doherty and what it means to them and their family. It's a really special occasion. It's great to be involved.
Bit of a weird one, two rounds in and you've already had a bye. What have the boys been up to? Did they go away or do they stay close to home? What do you do?
Yeah, we had 4 days off after the Richmond game, which allowed the boys to get away. It almost feels like it's round one again, except we're starting 2-0. So yeah, it's a nice position to be in. The boys are fresh. We've really rested and recovered and probably had a chance to go to work on a couple of things from the first couple of rounds. So yeah, we're excited to be back out here again.
The bye coming for you when it did, as weird as it sounds, just three matches into the season, did it come at a good time?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I reckon we'll probably know a bit more after a few other sides have had their byes, but two pretty good wins, two close for our liking, but I'm not complaining. So it gave us a chance to really review and probably a little bit closer and have a look at some areas we want to chase. Often you can find that comes a bit later in the year. So, yeah, it's a nice springboard for us to come into this week and the weeks coming up.
And you know how it works. Every time we speak to someone at Carlton, we do ask about the progress of Sam Walsh. The mail is that he's back running long distances and that he is on track for a return sometime inside the next 2 to 3 weeks. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. He's integrating back into training at the minute and looking really good. I'm really keen to get him back out here, obviously. But yeah, for the next 2 to 3 weeks, we'll try and build him back up and get that conditioning and the offline stuff at a high level, and then we can get him back in as quickly as possible.
So, Jordan, looking after the forward line, people from the outside would say, hey, you got Harry Mackay, got Charlie Kerner, life shouldn't be too tough. But tell us about the intricacies of managing it all and getting those players around them.
Yeah, it's, I'm firstly very lucky. Ash Hansen's done a great job the last couple of years working with these guys, and I've come in at a really good time where the synergy is pretty high. Week to week, obviously, things change, but I think the fact that Charlie's played 2 full years now, he's a consistent AFL player. Before that, he'd had so many years of injuries. So I think he's a part of, a real big integral part of the synergy with our group now. He's back playing, and he's really looking to try and help us as a forward six or seven, be really efficient inside our forward 50, and obviously be selfless as well. So the two of them have performed really well the last couple of weeks, and I'm looking forward to a good year from both of them.
You got some good crummers at ground level, but are they typical key forwards that don't like the little blokes getting in the way?
Well, this is probably the part I'm talking about. I think maybe in the past it's about kicking them themselves, but no, they're both extremely selfless. They work really hard with our young guys and our small guys to share the load, and that's something that we can keep getting better at and something that hopefully today we do a good job of.
When you get to a new footy club, all you want to do is get out on the ground and show what you can do for your football club and your teammates. Hasn't been that way for Elijah Hollands, who's had to spend a couple of weeks out. I'd imagine tonight it's all about getting him involved and getting him to be part of the Carlton Football Club.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's quite difficult and an odd situation where you come in and miss the first two. But the work that he's been doing throughout pre-season, he hasn't missed a session. So he's quickly built up a connection with our midfield group and our forwards. He's a hard worker and he's really disciplined in his role. And that's all we're asking from him tonight. And hopefully he can get a few good looks, possessions, but just as much as his pressure game as well.
You've been involved with the opposition. What are you expecting from them today?
Yeah, it's always a bit different when you come up against your old side, but watching them last week live, their first half was outstanding, and you can see what they've been trying to put into practice for the last 12 months. For them, it's just the consistency on them being able to do it for four quarters, but they're dangerous the way they've been able to move their ball from their back half and through the corridor. We've got to be on in terms of our reactions defensively to make sure that we can stop their slingshot from our forward 50.
Jordan, we appreciate your time. Best of luck to you and your footy club today.
Thanks very much, guys.
Jordan Russell, the forward coach from the Carlton Football Club, joins us in about 45 seconds' time. I'm going to turn the lights off here at Marvel just to highlight the fact we're here for the Royal Children's Hospital, and you can, of course, donate at goodfridayappeal.com.au. Damo, I know there's a lot of news. Question without notice, I saw something on the news this week that I was like, that is the way to do it. Big Peter Wright obviously was suspended, and the tribunal verdict came through, and I was watching your man Tony Jones on Channel 9 News, and they had put Essendon, Peter Wright, up to speak. And he was at the club, and they crossed live to a couple of people asking questions. I don't know Peter Wright. I've never actually heard him interviewed before. He spoke eloquently. He was remorseful. He was apologetic, and he came across as someone that acknowledged that he'd done the wrong thing. He said it happened very quickly. He was trying to learn behaviour to prevent it happening. So often in sport in this country, when people are involved in a situation, Chiefy, they are taken away from the media. I sat there, I was watching it with Erica. She straight away said, gee, seems like a nice bloke. He seems really unhappy that he's done the wrong thing. I thought, that is a way. If you've got an athlete eloquent enough to deal with the situation, never heard him speak before, and I went away thinking, well, he's obviously admitted he's made a mistake. He wants to work on it. Seems like a really good chap. Good luck to him.
Saw the same cross and had the same reaction that A, from the club to put him up so quickly within the news bulletin itself, but to the words that he said and acknowledging he wanted to knock it down from 4-3 as a almost a Hail Mary, acknowledged the fact that the tribunal said, no, we're going to keep it at 4, and I can live with that for the betterment of the game. I'm paraphrasing, but I thought the same thing, Howie.
Great way for clubs, I think, at times to get the player that's at the crux of the matter involved early, to stop all the digging around and the questions that follow up everybody else that actually wasn't involved and can't say anything. I think it's great to clear the air straight away. It makes sense to me.
Chief, it stops the next morning, 15 of his teammates being bailed up by a reporter as they walk into the club. Him having eventually he's going to have to speak about it. Got it done, spoke beautifully, well done.
So what do you do if you've got a bloke that can't speak?
Well, I think then it's a very different situation, and you put a club person up and...
You do a little bit of the Nate Brown. You slip him some little notes so he's got some conversation pieces to run with.
Conversation pieces.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.
Kangaroos are out on the ground in a royal blue jumper. The Blues are wearing their white strip with a bit of blue piping around the top. That's not too far away from coming out. This is Triple M Footy Prime Time for Mitsubishi Heavy Industries. Mitsubishi Heavy Industries air conditioners. Put your trust in the experts in air. Luke is calling on the television as the Blues come out on the ground. A warm round of applause. So we are privileged to be joined by the number one caller in the game, Brian Taylor, on Easter Friday. G'day, Brian. Nice to see you.
Harry, good to see North out there with those new jumpers. They've got to do something on this day because they won't be showing it with their football, I guess, will they?
Well, that's a really negative approach to the start of the game.
Oh, I saw them last week.
Well, I called them. Their first half was very good, I thought.
Oh, wow. We're playing first halves now, are we? That's the game, is it?
We're a set team here. We've worked together for 5 years. We're very comfortable. But, Damien, you said this was going to happen. There's an edge in the box, and already I've been told to sit in a different seat and move aside.
Blockbuster game. They said it was going to be full. It's about one-third full at the moment.
Brian and Chu can't look at each other.
No, they can't. And
I have no problem with Brian. I just can't believe how he moved over.
I was told to
terrified fashion.
It all revolves around where Astura, the statistician, two-time day, two-time night, premiership-winning statistician, is going
to
sit.
And he always sits to my right. Down
correct.
There.
Yeah. So and you're happy for him to sit there, aren't you?
That's on Friday, which is an alternate-style night.
This is Friday. And
that's a fusion of
this is Friday, bro.
Very weird people.
So Howard, where's he going to sit
stand
today?
Up and be a bigger man here, Howard? Because in Fox, you're the boss. There's no one bigger at the moment.
Oh. I respect my elders.
I have heard that. He's really...
So the power play involves Brian and Chief and Howie.
I respect my elders. I'll do as I'm told.
So what happened to looking after our teammates? Poor Ash. You're just going to give him the arse now, Howie, are you?
To be honest, Brian scares the shit out of me. So when he told me to move, that's exactly what I did.
But he doesn't scare that out of Chief. Now, Chief is about to stand up
now,
and
listen,
pull rank you.
Damo, Ash has got a tiny little ass, as we know, and it'll be placed in a position that he can do his job from, which is preferably in the box next door.
why don't you like it near you?
Because I like room to operate.
Okay.
You want to, Chief.
But you've got your half of the desk, and Howie and Ash can share the other half of the desk.
They're only small men.
There's a beautiful seat between you and Nathan Brown.
Yeah, but there's also these two things here, Brian. See these that monitor the microphone?
Well, they're unnecessary. You can pull those out. You don't need those.
pull them out.
So who's going to win this power play anyway?
Because
Ash has to sit somewhere.
Where's he going to sit?
All I know is I'll be going, Howie, as long as you know that I'll be going about 3 or 4 minutes before the end of the game.
Why?
Because I've got to leave early today.
Is this the way you roll at the Seven Network?
No, this is the way we roll on Saturdays at Triple M.
Okay.
And it is a Saturday, of course.
It's a Friday, Brian.
It is too.
Good Friday. Good Saturday.
Lovely lineup here.
It's Good Friday.
Real Royal Children's Hospital. Let's get on bigger and better.
How is cowardice?
Do you know who's playing, BT?
It was extraordinary. I've been told to respect my elders, and Brian's an elder, so I'll leave it to you two. So where's he going to sit?
You're the big man at the moment.
No, I'm not.
You do the cricket, you do the football.
You have shrunk down here.
You earn more than anybody in here, Howard.
There's only one seat available, which is to your right, Howard, or he's up the back.
Like, you have international bank accounts.
Slip over here next to Brian.
No.
Howard, there's a chair down there. I will only say it once.
I will be departing should Chu sit in the front row. Damo?
I'm just putting the chair back like Jace asked me to.
Brian, I'm touchy-feely. I like how close you are now. He's removing the chair and he's just throwing it out the back of the box like a WWE-style event. I don't know. You're the producer here, Luke. This is denigrating.
Someone's
got to
pull Ranky. Someone has to pull Ranky.
Is a chair being tossed out the box, Chu?
Howie, grow up here, will you?
The Triple M Footy Friday Huddle for the TAC. Don't take risks while driving. Chances are you'll be caught. A message from the TAC.
For Ream Hot Water and McDonald's, Triple M rocks footy.